I'm Kevin Purcell.
I'm Rick Mansfield.
And this is Theotech. Well, that's right. This is Theotech. I am Kevin, and Rick and I are welcoming one of our good friends from our little chat group that we have privately that is also called Theotech. His name is Wes Allen. And like me, he's also a Baptist pastor. So Wes, thanks for joining us, man.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. Tell us a little bit about who you are real quick, and then we're going to jump right in and talk about video cameras for streaming your church services online.
I am a pastor at Central Baptist Church in Riverton, Palmyra, which is in Palmyra, New Jersey. Up until last March, for the last 10 years, I have been the communications coordinator for the American Baptist Churches of New Jersey. The pandemic hit and life went kablooey. And I went, I can't do that anymore. So I've just been a pastor alone for a year in this ongoing nightmare. That's where I am. So I'm just across the river from Philadelphia.
It's amazing how going from being, you know, very much in the tech world to focusing almost entirely on ministry, that is a bit of a change. I did that when I quit working for Gotta Be Mobile a few years ago, and it is a bit of an adjustment, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, it was different just because my wife was working from home. I'm trying to work from home. We have a 3-year-old. We have now a 19 and a 21-year-old, and it's been rather crowded. So it's been an interesting year.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. All right. Well, by the way, hi, Rick.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, let's jump in here. And, you know, I was telling you guys before we started recording that you know, my website is kevinpurcell.org. You can also find it with theotech.com if that's easier. That's Theotech with a K on the end of it. And on that website, I have, and I'll put the link to this in the description of this podcast, I have an article that I wrote about a year and a half ago for the pastors in our area primarily, because, you know, I'm sort of known as the tech pastor or the gadget preacher or whatever. And they all kept asking me, hey, this pandemic came. What do I do? I need to get online. How do I do that? We're just streaming with our phone. What do we do? And of course, I said, hey, if you're streaming with your phone and it works, keep doing it. It's simple and it's easy. But, you know, they wanted more. They wanted it to look better and be a little better sound and things like that. And so instead of answering that question over and over again, I wrote this article, 4 Best Camera Styles for Streaming Church Services Live in 2021. And it is, every day since I wrote it, has been the number one driver of traffic to my website. Earlier this year, I updated it for 2021. It was 2020. And the reason I did that was, you know, things have changed. The recommendations I originally made, I wouldn't be making now. So anyway, you know, you guys can go and read that and see that, but that'll kind of be the driver of our discussion. But just to answer that question, Wes, you know, what would you say if someone came to you and said, how do I get online? How do I get my church streaming online? Just kind of jump right in. What would be the first step that you would say is necessary?
My first thing would be necessary was to think of your audio.
Yeah.
We always jump to cameras, and you had said that so many pastors started with their phones, which was great because you get the phone like 2 feet from your face and the audio is going to sound fine. But we forget about how to get into the sound system. So that's honestly, that would be kind of the first thing I would think for people is be like, what is your sound system like? What are your microphones like? Where's it located? Do you know how to get sound out of it to get to a computer or to a camera? And the level of engagement in your stream is always going to be so much better if you have even decent audio. It doesn't have to be good audio. It can just be decent. And people are going to pay attention to that more because it doesn't hurt their brains.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I've told that to people too. Your audio is actually more important than your video quality, because people will forgive you some pixelated video or dim video, or, you know, it looks like you're watching a video cassette tape from, you know, 1994.
Yep.
They'll forgive you all that if it sounds good. But
yeah, I mean, we stream live at,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we stream live at 720p. I mean, we're not streaming 4K. We're not streaming 1080, which is as low as you can get for HD. But we have usable audio, and it makes all the difference.
So yeah, and also there. Use your sound system if you've got one in your church.
Yeah,
and find a way to connect that to the camera and or the computer to get it going. That's kind of not really our topic for this one, but that's a great point. And in my article, there are some links to talk a little bit about that. But you're right, and I think one of the things that people forget is just plugging your sound system into your phone. You're going to have some special kind of cables,
some dongles,
and and things like that because of that. And I talk about that in the article because that's really important.
Yeah.
But assuming you've got your audio down,
that's the assumption.
What's next about getting online?
I would ask for the church, what do you want to do? Because there are churches that they just want to put a camera on the pulpit, and that's fine. And they don't need to incorporate slides. They don't need to have a screen on. They just want to have a camera or maybe two cameras. And so if that is the case, then everything is so much easier because you're not trying to incorporate so many different elements. You're not trying to show stuff to the congregation. And there's a lot of churches that have really dynamic, useful, deep worship that don't necessarily use all the whiz-bang stuff, but they have people who are at home and they want to feel like they're participating. And a single camera on the pulpit, or maybe one in there and that gets the choir as well, that's enough for them. And to me, it's always go through, know what your plan is. So know what it is you're trying to look for. And the more things you want to add to the stream, the more complex your setup is going to get.
What can you add besides the picture? Besides, you know, like you said, pointing the camera at the pulpit or at the piano when you move it over there or whatever. What else would you add to it?
Well, like at our church, I have my computer, my MacBook is sitting there, and I'm streaming through a program called Open Broadcasting System or software, which is a pretty good streaming software that runs on just about anything right now. And coming into a cheap capture card, like literally $30 on Amazon, I have a little computer that's running our lyrics and it runs our liturgy slides. So if I have a call to worship that's responsive, or if I have my scripture readings, that's all running through this one piece of software on this little computer. It's going through that HDMI capture card and that's being brought into the server stream. So those are the types of things you would add. And like if you want to put a video in, that's the type.
I think the good way to describe that, and just in case people don't know what this looks like, is if you're watching a TV preacher, you know, and they often show the scripture, you know, so they'll cut from him to the scripture, or, you know, they got a picture of a penguin or whatever it is, you know, they cut to that picture. And that's kind of what you're talking about, is like, it's like the software handles switching for you.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other things that can do it. OBS just does it for us for that. But that's, know your plan. Like, know what you're looking to get out of it. Because it's always easier to add stuff as you go through. So if you get really good at a single camera, and then you want to go like, okay, we want to add. So you go from iPhone, and then you get a static camera. And now we want to add scripture readings and things like that. That's, you can always extend. That's easy. But if you don't have a plan to start, you're just going to be swimming upstream constantly.
So is OBS the best choice for people who are kind of new? They don't really know what they're doing.
You know, it gets really difficult because a lot of these churches don't have budgets to pay for a software subscription. So OBS is very powerful. You can do anything you want with it. It has a steep learning curve because it's made by geeks, really for geeks. So you have to know things like bitrate and stuff like that. You can find a YouTube video to set it up. And it'll work fine. But it takes a little bit of a setup going in. There's other apps that can do things that I don't think are quite as powerful, but are a little easier. One on Mac is called Ecamm Live, which is what I use forever and a day. And that does a really good job as well. But it's, again, now you're paying subscription costs. So that's always what it comes down to, is what's your budget? And that's part of your plan. What is our budget for this?
Yeah, we use Ecamm, but we're grandfathered in, so we don't have to pay the subscription because we've used it so long. But if I bought it today, you know, I'd have to pay. I don't even know what the subscription cost is. Do you?
It's pretty pricey.
Like $25 or $30 a month or something like that?
And that's for the basic. Like the pro is, it gets pretty pretty expensive after a while. And but see, OBS, I can do things like I can have the program also being broadcast to the screen in the sanctuary. So whatever's going out on the stream, it's also being shown up front. So I don't have to worry about splitting the signals out and all that. So it's the same. It's $15 per month for the pro features is the start. And I think it's $25 for the full thing.
That's a little less than I said, but if you're a smaller church and you're on a shoestring budget like a lot of us are, that gets to be pretty overwhelming after a while.
It's a lot of money. Because you're doing it year after year after year after year. OBS is a free download.
Yeah. So, and by the way, the other streaming services that you can do, some of them are like catering to churches themselves. They go up from there. That's like the floor. If you're paying a subscription, that's the bottom. You're not going to get, there's a service called Daycast. I think it's DACAST that I used to use a long time ago. And it was maybe a little cheaper than that. I think we got it. But again, that was a long time ago. So I don't know what they charge now, but there's others, but they're all, I think when I said 25 or 30, I was thinking, I thought that was the budget one. Because of these other ones are 50.
For the full one, Ecamm is 32 a month.
Yeah.
Man, that's nuts. I can't afford that.
Yeah. Oh, and the bigger ones, I mean, the more expensive ones, which are more common, $30 a month. You're going to have a hard time finding it for that much. So, So if you need to have your hand held, Ecamm probably is a good solution. And where can you stream to? What places can it go out to if you use Ecamm or OBS?
I believe that OBS can do Twitch, it can do YouTube, it can do Facebook. I think it can do Vimeo. I know Ecamm can do Vimeo and all those as well. So you really just have to look. I think most churches are either doing Facebook or YouTube at this point. Yeah. And so any software they're gonna be streaming to should work fine.
Can you set up OBS to stream so that it goes directly to your church webpage, or does it have to be some kind of intermediary thing that does that?
I've never tried. I mean, I would assume that if your webpage has the ability to take what's called, and see, this is where you get geeky. If your website has the ability to take something that's called an RTMP stream, which is just a video codec over internet, you can go right to your church. I don't recommend it because your little church website's not going to have necessarily the processing power to handle a whole bunch of people connecting all at once, because that's going to slow things down. So what I just end up doing is we stream to YouTube and I just embed the video on our website and it shows up there.
Yeah.
And we basically stopped doing bulletins. So on our calendar, we have the full worship order and at the top is the embedded video. So people have everything right there.
Okay. You got any questions at this point, Rick?
No, but I'm learning a lot.
Okay, good.
You know, I apologize to everyone for not having as much to contribute to this subject. I used to do video recording of services way back in the day when you used actual dedicated video cameras, and then it would be broadcast later. And of course, the world has changed since then. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID first hit last year, and the first phase of that, when it was really bad, and we could only have 10 people at our church at a time, they did do a service, but our priest just set his MacBook at the back of the nave, and I think I loaned to him my Yeti microphone, and that was our service, you know. But fortunately, that was short for just a short while. There's a local church here that asked me about it, about recording services, and I asked you guys on the Slack channel, and you recommended the Mevo camera, which is what I recommended to them, and that worked out pretty well for them, just broadcasting to YouTube or Facebook.
Yep. Let's talk about that. The Mevo, we're advertising this as the kinds of cameras. There's some preliminary working that you need to do to get to the point where you pick a camera. But, you know, let's talk about that. A Mevo camera. First of all, what is that?
The Mevo is a streaming first camera. It's all kind of an integrated unit. Right as the pandemic was hitting, they came out with their new version, which is called the Mevo Start, which has improved a lot of the features of the original two models. And it can be used. It's controlled with either an iPad or a phone. It can be used to do things like cuts and pans in the software because it's a wide angle lens and you can actually just zoom in and around on it. So that's really kind of fun. And it can stream directly to YouTube or Facebook, any RTMP stream. I think it does Twitch. And you can actually just set that up and go. And the neat thing about Mevo, and this is what I ended up doing last summer when our church went outside, is we had one of the original or the second models with their adapter. I took the sound from my sound system and I was running it into my phone and just running the Mevo app. And that was the sound for the stream. So it was coming through the sound system, but it was synced with the video automatically. And that was really kind of cool. And then when we moved back indoors, Mevo has done a lot of work to try to get it so it can be integrated into other systems. So you can just run the Mevo and use nothing else. But especially with the newer version, there's a wireless webcam app that you can install. It's out for release in Mac. It is beta right now in Windows. The beta is very solid. And you can actually connect and it will show up on whatever device you're using, your computer, a Mac or a window, as an actual webcam. So you can just bring it into OBS as a camera right then. And that's really cool. A little bit of a delay, but not a whole lot. And that's neat. And also the newer ones have what's called network device interface, which is a newer version of video over internet that you can actually just do that too. So you don't even need the app anymore. So these, I mean, they're really cool features. It's a solid little camera. It's got a 6-hour battery built in. There's a 3.5 millimeter jack in the back, the Mevo Start, so you can put audio into it right from your board or wherever you are. And that is really what I'm recommending churches use at this point.
That's a good option if you can place the camera closer to the source, you know, who the person that you're
you don't want to crack
taking video of. In a sanctuary like mine, you know, we have a long sanctuary from front to back. And so the Mevo just wasn't a good solution because we also have a platform that's raised fairly high. And so for a while I used one and I had a mic stand in the middle about 5 rows back. And it just kind of looked bad, you know, to the people who sit behind that, which, you know, Baptist church is just about everybody.
Sits in the back. My thing with the Mevo is really, it's so innocuous, especially the Start. I mean, if you've seen how small the Start is, the older version, the camera itself was small, but then to have a decent battery, it got really tall. The Start is almost like it fades out of the way. So you can almost put it like right in front of the pulpit. And because it's got a wide angle lens, no one's going to know. And so it's just sitting there and you can almost hide it like behind your microphone on the pulpit mic. And it was like people would not even pay attention to it. Then.
I never thought of that.
Because
your microphone is in the way. If you've got one on your pulpit, why not have the camera right in front of the mic?
And then the newer Mevos are so small, you can get away with it. Yeah. The older one, it would have been more difficult.
I have the older one. When I was writing for GottaBeMobile.com, it was given to me by Mevo. So I've actually never purchased. No, that's not true. I bought the very first generation and then sold it. And then they gave me this one to review. So I don't have the Start. Our association has it on my recommendation. But I do use that in our fellowship hall on Wednesday night is where we meet for our Bible study time and prayer time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got like 25 to 30 people in there, probably more like 20 to 25 right now. and so there it's, you know, I'm sitting about 4 feet from it. Sometimes my wife joins me and she, you know, keeps track of the Facebook feed so that anybody who makes a comment or a prayer request, she reads those. So, you know, that's the Mevo is a good solution. I love the app. If you use it with your phone, or I have an iPad mini that I bought to use with it. And what you can do is you can actually program it so that there are shots. And so I have one that focuses on the screen, one that focuses on me, one that focuses on both, and then if my wife is there, I've got a fourth one that focuses on her, and the person that runs it, all he's going to do is tap with his finger on the screen, and it goes from shot to shot to shot, and then wide shot. And then, you know, we have a Zoom P4, which is kind of it's almost like a mini mixing board, a mobile mini mixing board with four XLR
They're really cool.
inputs. Yep. And I have that then going into the tablet so that's where we get our sound. We just use our XLR mics that we have with our church sound system, And so we get great sound quality. The Zoom P4 is awesome because it has built-in storage. So you can also, or it actually has an SD card. So you can put like bumper music, like music to start the service. About 3 minutes before 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, my sound guy hits one of the buttons and it starts playing a song. And so when people come in, it's not like, why aren't they talking to me? You know, there's not silence. They're hearing a song. And then he you know, pans it down when we're about to start at 7 o'clock. If you wanted, you could put in some fun little things like, I don't know if this will come across right or not. Can you hear that?
Yes. Applause. Everybody applaud.
Anyway, so
it's a good play.
Fun little things in it because I'm using it right now. So that's a, and that's a great little tool. It also has a Bluetooth adapter so you can plug your phone or, you know, connect your phone or something to it. And that you have to pay extra for. But so that's a cool tool. And so that we use the Mevo for that. If you are just using, though, your phone, how do you suggest someone do that? You know, because these phones have some pretty great quality
cameras,
video. How do you recommend them get the best out of it?
Well, again, think where your sound is and how you can get sound there. If you're using an iPhone, you'll need a Lightning to, it's called their old camera kit adapter that has the USB port on it. And you can actually go to Amazon and get a $10 USB card that actually Mevo recommends. Plug that in and you can use that as your sound input on the microphone jack. Like the Mevo, get it as close as you can to where it's not going to be too obtrusive to folks. And again, it's a phone, so it's going to be pretty small. Go landscape. So please don't do portrait. Go landscape.
Say that again.
Wider, not taller.
Say
go
that again.
Wider, not taller. And don't just prop it up. Go get a tripod. Get like a cheap $20 tripod off of Amazon or go to Target and grab something from there. And get a tripod adapter for your phone to stick it in. So you don't have to hold it. And you don't have to worry about being bumped. It's just going to sit there on the tripod and it will not move. And then you can, you know, you can loosen it and like move it a little bit if you want to get somebody in frame. But that for a phone, that's really what you want. You want to somehow get sound to your sound system to it. You need the dongles to do it and get a tripod. I can't stress enough. Get a tripod. Like it's just, it's a, there's nothing, no reason not to have one.
Well, so. And another thing, this only works with one generation of the iPhone, and that is the MagSafe phone, which is the iPhone 12 or newer. We don't have anything newer yet, but Moment has a great little tripod adapter that
that's
magnetically
magnetic.
Attaches to the back of the iPhone 12.
That's nice.
And I have that with a Manfrotto tripod, and it's solid. It's rock solid. It's got a ball head.
I need
head.
To get that just for other uses.
It's got a ball head. The Manfrotto has a ball head, so I can, you know, move it around and get it just like, even if I'm on an uneven table or something like that.
There's the little Manfrotto, the tabletop tripods. I have one of those. Those are awesome. And you can use it as a handle. If you want to walk around and interview people.
That's really a great option. All right. So let's jump away from iPhones or Android phones work just as well. They have some great cameras as well. But let's say, all right, we need to do a little bit better than that. Or we want to have something that's got some better Zoom capabilities. What would you suggest then?
You know, at this point, a lot of people are going to have, and if you want to deal with borrowing, a lot of people are going to have DSLRs that can be set to do what's called a clean HDMI out. So you can actually set that in and set your, put it in the back, use your zoom lens and zoom in and focus. You're going to get a static shot with it. What I tell people to do is to do manual focus and, you know, get it set to the pulpit is absolutely in focus. And you would take that HDMI source and you would go into a capture card again. You're not streaming at 4K. So one of these cheapo little under $30 capture cards that Amazon has out are gonna work perfectly for you. Plug that into your computer and do that through OBS. And I think that's good because so many people have these cameras out there. You can actually say, everybody bring it in, we'll find one that works. And you can figure out and test if you like the picture. And if you do, then you can start, you know, kind of exploring if this is something we want to do. Or if someone has an HDMI video camera, which are not as common anymore because people don't buy them as much. We're all using our phones. That's even better because you know that'll be a clean HDMI output and usually has, if you want to take sound from it, you can usually do that better too. And that would be the two things. Start testing how that's going to look in your sanctuary. As you know, a lot of sanctuaries aren't very bright. They're, you know, they were made in the 1800s, so their lighting isn't great, like mine. But you know, look for that. And then if you like that, then you can troll eBay for a used video camera. Models, Canons are very good and Sony's are both very good. They're both going to give you pretty decent picture. They'll be pretty decent with low light. They do clean HDMI out and you know, they'll work with OBS, which is really nice. That would be my second go-to.
I think the two things, you mentioned a couple of things there. One is, you know, a DSLR. I would also add to that, like a mirrorless style camera.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I own a mirrorless. I'm saying just the whole camera.
And if you don't know the difference between that, I've got a video on that that website, you know, my article on the website that explains the difference between mirrorless versus DSLR. Basically, the point is, it's just a high quality camera, a little bit better than just a cheap little point and shoot. But you know, even a point and shoot, if it has the ability to get that signal out clean, and when we
that's
say
the
clean,
problem is so many do not have clean HDMI, so you're going to get all the overlays and
When we say clean HDMI, what do we mean by that? Just so people
it
understand.
Means that there's not going to be any system information on it. So when you do HDMI out, when you're looking in your camera screen, you can see like the little histogram, which is the graph that shows you if things are bright or dark, and you have like where we're shooting at this speed and this is the focus that we're using. If you could do a clean HDMI out, all that stuff is taken off that, and this it's just the picture, so you can, you know, plug it into your TV and, you know, see yourself on TV.
And sometimes you might have to go into your settings of your camera
and turn it on.
It may not just do it automatically.
I don't know why it's not a default. It really annoys me that it's not.
I think they're thinking of a photographer who wants all that information, but you know, they're plugging into a big
screen.
They
want the bigger thing, yeah.
You know, they're in a studio and they're taking portraits and whatever. All right, so we've talked about using your phone. We've talked about the Mevo camera, which is probably the best bet for a lot of people. But we've also talked about using a DSLR or mirrorless camera, or if you can find one, a point and shoot that has clean HDMI, and we explain what that means. But there's another option. I think you mentioned a little bit about it, but what about just a camcorder? A lot of people have one. They're sitting around. No one uses them anymore, hardly. And you know what? They're a lot cheaper than a DSLR or a mirrorless camera. I mean, you can find a
That's what I used to use back in the day.
Yeah.
You can find a pretty good one that has all that stuff we were just talking about, clean HDMI out and really good zoom lens.
And 1080p.
In the very back of the sanctuary, like I do at my church, we've got a 35 optical zoom on the Canon camera that if you bought it today, you couldn't buy it brand new. But if you bought it today, you get one on eBay for $150.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now, like at my church, I don't know anybody who has a digital camcorder because they all had, like that part of their life was gone before digital camcorders became a thing. So for me, I'd be just worried that someone would show up with an old USB or VHS camcorder.
Yeah, the big kind that holds on their shoulder.
Can we put this in the church? Yeah. Like, no, you can't do that.
I have mine. It's a Sony. I've got it somewhere.
I have mine. It's sitting in the sanctuary at our church. Being used as our
camera. I haven't used it in years. If you need to buy mine from me, let me know.
I have a Panasonic standard def mini DV that I was using for years, and I have an old VHS-C. That's the reason why I kind of went DSLR first, because I think there's more people who have those cameras right now running around. And they, at least for a lot of churches that aren't don't think of themselves as tech savvy. But if you have one of those digital camcorders from like 2004 up, get it and use it.
Yeah.
Because it's just and you can plug it in. That's the other thing with the camcorder over DSLRs. You don't have to get a dummy battery to plug it in. You just
say more about that, because that's really important. If you do use a DSLR or a mirrorless camera, what is a dummy battery? Why do you need that?
Well, DSLRs, because they're designed to be camera, or, you know, photography cameras. They're not really designed to be, you know, studio cameras. They don't have like a ability to plug directly into AC power. That's to keep costs down. It's to keep weight down, and it's more to keep heat down more than anything. And so to plug into AC power, you have to get what is essentially, it looks like a battery, and it's got a cable coming out of it. You can plug into an AC adapter that goes into your battery jack, and then you run from there. And most cameras have them, and they're not terribly expensive, but they can be a pain in the neck because you're constantly shuffling. And sometimes you forget your battery dies in the middle of service, and that's always fun. I didn't run one. When we started streaming for years, I was just using my Panasonic G7, and I would just make sure the battery was charged up full and would just let it go for the service, and that was fine. But I was always nervous that one day the battery is just going to die, and that would be enjoyable.
And you must preach a lot shorter than I do, because if I had used my battery, it definitely wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, if I preach 15 minutes, I'm too long.
Well, so. I'm usually 30 to 40 sometimes. So
I want to stand up, speak up, and shut up.
Both of us had Haddon Robinson as preaching professors, and he always said, if a guy's preaching longer, you can tell he isn't prepared as well. Well, I think that's a great point. And there's one more style that I don't know a lot about, and that is they kind of get called the PTZ, because that's the company I think that maybe is most well-known.
No, it stands for pan, tilt, zoom.
Yeah, okay, that's right, yeah. And these cameras often will run over a network cable, am I right?
Yep.
And they're designed to be connected to either software or a box that lets it, when you say pan, tilt, zoom,
you have a joystick and you have a joystick and you can make it go up, down, left, right, and zoom in. You can set all the shots up, and you have to have an external monitor to see what they're doing, and you feed it through. And I mean, they're really powerful. That's what like high-end studios would be using. That's what a lot of bigger churches that are impressed with themselves are using. Honestly, it's overkill.
I think so. Although I found one from a place called Avipas, A-V-I-P-A-S.
Mm-hmm.
It's the AV1081G, and it's only $620.
Yeah, but
now, that doesn't include all the other extras though that you have.
Yeah, there's a lot of buy-in that you need to make it really work. There's software things you could do to plug it in, but you have to know most PTZ cameras will run over HDMI, but they're really designed for network.
Right.
And so you have to know how to get a wire there. You get it's. It would be great if you had all that money to drop on it. But for a church that's going, we're just kind of jumping in. I don't even know if it's necessarily something that you should want to aspire to. Like, it's so much upkeep. It's so much investment that if something goes bad, you really need to know your stuff in order to keep that system up and running. And the camera goes bad. Now I got to drop $600 for a camera, which is, you don't even know what the quality is. Now usually they run over 1,000. And then you really have to spend a whole lot of time using it. To me, the Mevo is the better solution, because everybody already knows how to use an iPad or an iPhone, and so the device is already there. Or if there's another system out there that has really disappeared to the point where I can't even think of it anymore. my gosh, I'm just having a complete brain fart. I'll think of it in a little bit. And that'll actually create its own hotspot that you can actually use regular cameras and kind of do some of the same things. But to me, it's just simple's better. Simple is so much better. So.
Yeah, for the reason, no other reason than training people how to use it. The simple is the best way to go, because, you know, as people are getting used to it, they're less likely to make mistakes, which, you know, the one time you don't want them to make a mistake is when you've got, I don't know, 5, 10, 100 people viewing you live on Sunday morning. And for them, that's the only church they're going to have this week. Or even if they're just watching the recording because they work during the day. And so, you know, that's it. It's not fun if they can't get a good one. And when we were doing,
they want to mistake the stream, services, don't watch my church.
What's that?
I said, if they want to mistake the service, don't watch my church.
Yeah, well, so. But you want to try it. That's your goal, is to be as mistake-free as possible. So you think the Mevo is maybe the best solution for that. It's simplicity,
it's
along
just,
with the price.
It's simple and it's flexible because you can bring it into another system.
Yeah.
So if you want to start with the Mevo and just stream with that, and you're like, okay, well, we've heard about this OBS, then you can take time to learn the other system while still streaming with the Mevo. And then when you're ready, you can jump over to something.
So why don't you just go down to Staples and get a Logitech webcam?
Because they stink. there's not even... It's the color balance is terrible. The angle of view is terrible. They're just bad. It's just like, don't do that.
Or so, Rick's priest's MacBook. What did you say? It was a MacBook that he used, Rick?
The MacBook Pro.
MacBook Air at the back of the auditorium.
Yeah.
Which is technically lower specs. Technically lower specs. Probably still better than the Logitech external webcam.
Yeah.
So
now I have a Logitech Brio, which is really good, actually. I mean, if you look, those of you who are watching this can't see, but you know, it has a really great quality camera. It's also $200 for a webcam. And I've got,
and if
a big
I'm doing
light.
That, I'm dropping $300 or $200 more for the Mevo.
Right.
Because I can use it the
I
same way.
I have the 4K one.
Do you?
Yeah.
You have the Logitech 4K?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Brio?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is especially if you can get close to the camera. I'm sitting literally.
That's the problem. It really needs lighting in order to look decent, because it's designed to be like right up to your face.
So just don't do it. That's what we're saying.
It.
Just you'll be much happier with the Mevo, or your phone is better.
Your phone will be much better than a webcam.
Or if you can get a DSLR or a good mirrorless, get the mirrorless. Yep. DSLR is kind of yesterday's technology, and you're going to pay the same.
Well, you can pick them up on cheap on eBay. That's the whole
thing.
That's
true.
As long as you feel like get like a Sony or a Canon,
will
both do clean HDMI. Nikons will not. Just for to let people know.
Good to know.
Plus, Nikon is just kind of faltering. They're just not as good a company anymore. At the end of the article that I keep referencing, just because, you know, most of this is all in that article, I have specific camera suggestions.
Yes.
So if you want to look at that, and they range from, you know, $200 for a camcorder, all the way up to, you can spend, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 on a really high end, you know, Sony, you know, A7 III, I think it is, that's like $2,500.
Oh yeah.
You know, something
Let's
like that.
Let's get a full frame DSLR and mount it to the ceiling. No, don't do that.
No.
So, please.
But and then just to kind of put a button on it, I think, you know, the picture quality is important, but doesn't have to be great, especially if you're going over, you know, how good is your church's Wi-Fi? Can it handle 4K? Probably not. If it can, great.
But there's no streaming service. If you're doing live, there's no streaming service that will take even 1080p at this point. YouTube doesn't. Facebook doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, Facebook
Twitch
does.
Twitch might.
Facebook does.
Facebook 1080p. Takes 1080? Okay. Well.
Yeah, because when I stream from home, when we
you were doing 1080?
That,
it wasn't downsampling?
I've used my Logitech camera sitting like I am right now. And
gotcha.
You know, and it does go 1080p. But even then, what is the person going to see it in? Are they going to see it in 1080p on their Wi-Fi? No, probably not. So, you know, just get the best for your budget that you can afford, but don't sweat not being able to get 4K or even 1080p. You can do 720 and that's just fine. And that refers to the resolution, in case people don't know what we're talking about. And then the second thing is, most important, is make sure you get good audio. That's the best thing. And then anything else, just to summarize, what big important tips would you say, Wes, that I haven't just mentioned, to kind of close it out here?
My thing would be, just this is what I tell people, and I already try to teach them anything on a computer. remember what you felt like when you were a kid and you were on a playground and you saw a jungle gym and you couldn't wait to explore every aspect of that jungle gym. Come, you know, the phrases, come hell or high water. I'm going to go up as high as I can on that thing, and I don't care if there's cement on the bottom, because I'm a kid and that's what I do. When you're going to approach learning a new skill in anything, but especially in computers, it's a playground. And remember, like, just have that curiosity to think, how do I make this happen? And just keep pressing buttons till you figure out what's going on, or keep searching YouTube until you learn what language you should have asked for. Because that's oftentimes the barrier. And when you learn, you'll feel awesome. Just the same way you did when you used to get to the top of the pole.
That's a good word. Rick, you got anything here at the end?
I don't know that I ever got to the top of the pole. I wasn't the most athletic kid. But this is you know, I may be average listener in the sense that I've learned a lot just listening to you guys talk. And I'm very interested in the subject. I don't have an immediate use for it, but like I said, when I did have someone ask me, you know, about, like I said, a church locally, I went to you guys and I said, okay, what would be just a simple setup that the church could use? And you recommended that Mevo, and that worked out really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm tempted to upgrade ours to the new Mevo Start, because
the Starts are nice. They have a multicam app, so you can run more than one Mevo now.
Oh, yeah. So okay. When we were doing outdoor services, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, it was here in North Carolina, those 4 Sundays that we had to do it outdoors in April and early May, it probably the average temperature was at least 100 degrees in our parking lot, which is where we chose to do it. And so the camera overheated every single time. That Mevo.
You got to have that in the shade.
Our Mevo Plus is what we have. And it overheated every single time. And we ended up using, my son was at home at the time, and he was running the camera for me during that time. And every single time, he just had to pull his phone out and sit there and hold it. And after the second week, he got a tripod, you know, got my tripod and had it there as the backup. And, so they don't work well outdoors in hot weather, but most people aren't.
You have to keep it in the shade.
Yeah.
So,
but we were not in the shade. And if you go to
If you're in a parking lot in AFSA, that's probably not the best place to stick it.
Yeah. So, now maybe if you still live in the north, like Wes does, you might be able to get away with that. But anyway. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. If you're still with us at this point, we really appreciate you, and we hope you'll subscribe. Give us a nice review if you like this over on Apple or Google Podcasts. And again, go to theotech.com. Find the description below the podcast in your podcast catcher or reader, and it will show you how to find that link to that article. Or if you just go over to there to kevinpurcell.org and search for 4 best cameras for streaming, you'll be able to find that thing. I'm going to update it with the link to this and maybe just update it so it's at the top for a little while, so people can find it real easily. But thanks, Wes, for being with us. We really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for the invite, Kev.
And Rick, good to see you again, and good to hear you. Good to talk with you. We'll be back hopefully another couple of weeks or so. We do these about every other week, and who knows what the next one will be about. But it's always about ministry tech made easy. That's how, kind of our theme. So goodbye, and God bless you all.
See ya.
See ya.
And that's the end.